Welcome back for another episode of the Skits and Giggles podcast. I'm Pascal, and I'm joined by my co-host Bryson. How's it going today, buddy?
Hey, Pascal. Hey, Skigglers. It's going good? You know, it must be Thursday, because I've got throwback vibes.
Ah, come on. What's up with the throwback vibes? We're talking about BMX today, and it has nothing to do with throwbacks, because BMX is right on top of the agenda again. You know, it's back in the Olympics with two disciplines, no less. So we're actually mega stoked. We just got done recording with Joe Dova, who is the national coach for the U19s in BMX race. It was a really interesting conversation about a lot of things that we care about, like progression, keeping kids entertained and interested in the sport, bringing kids to the sport, and of course, like all the performance aspects and how the Swiss cycling organization operates in that space. It was really interesting. Bryson, what did you think?
I had a lot of fun talking to Joe. He's a really good character and super insightful. It's just fun talking about BMX. Maybe I should go ride it a little bit.
All right. Well, but before we jump into our conversation with Joe, let's just say a few words about the social and where you guys can find more information about the Skits and Giggles podcast. We are currently most active on our Instagram, where you can skit right into our DMs and follow along at Skits and Giggles. And you can find our website with all the relevant links and info under the URL skitsandgiggles.com. Also, if you guys like what we're doing and want to know what's up, just give us a follow on Spotify. Hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to great podcasts. Well, with that, it's Riders Ready. Watch the gate. Catch you after the show. Well, today we sit down with Joe Dova. Joe Dova, how's it going tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Bryson, how are you? How is the recovery going from the dead?
It's a battle, but hey, we're going to fight, right?
All right. Well, today we have a lot on the docket. We have BMX, we have racing, we have progression, we have mountain biking, we have all kinds of things. But before we jump into all of that, why don't we talk a little bit about how the season has started for you, Joe? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we start like 3 weeks ago. We end up in a race. So it was nothing to do with the championships. Then we get the first two rounds of the European Cup. It was really good. We had a selection from an athlete that we took good care of. And yeah, we get some decent results. So if I remember correctly, we had like two final in the junior man category, one in the elite, and like four riders into the final for the elite women.
Okay. And when you talk about elite and junior and women and boys and men, you're talking about BMX racing. So maybe for the listener that is not so familiar with all the different BMX categories, can you describe a little bit what BMX race actually means?
I mean, so BMX race is like eight riders going down a BMX track, and the first at the finish line win. And it's from the UCI from 1992, if I remember correctly, and it's Olympic since 2008.
And how do you fit into all of this? Can you describe what your role is in BMX race, and certainly when it comes to juniors and the Olympics and all of that?
I mean, from the end of last year, I'm a national coach for the Swiss Cycling Federation, and I'm taking care of the whole like talented program from 10 until junior. So junior is the same as from in downhill, is 17 and 18 years old.
How many boys, girls, and juniors on your roster at the moment?
A lot of. I mean, if we take the whole talent team, as we call, so it's like we take them from the age from 10 to 18, and we have like three training center, one in each speaking region. Like there is one for the Roman, there is one for the Swiss German, and there is one in the center. And all together, it make about like 40 riders. That's the whole talent pool in Danish race.
Okay, and that goes from age of 10 all the way up to 18. You have 40 guys on the national team.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
How do you find yourself at three centers?
I'm taking care of the three center, like all the administrative way, like respond to email. But I only coach at two of them. For the Swiss-French part, I have another trainer who's taking care of the coaching time there.
Okay. And that is just for one discipline, yeah? So that is just for race. And then I assume there is the same for freestyle.
It's not, we are not that far in freestyle. So in freestyle, we only have like a national team with only two rider now, so we are not that far. There is no talent program now for freestyle, so it's for the federation side. Freestyle is only like two rider in the national team.
How would you describe? Is like what is your day to day work with the athletes? You know, how does your normal week look like as a national coach? How do you coach, you know, 40 guys at the same time, or you know, more or less 40 guys at the same time? How does that work?
I mean, like there is some group training, like when, for example, every Wednesday on the Swiss-German side, there is a group training when we split in two. So we have like first the 10 younger guys, then the 10 older guys. And there is the same in the Swiss French part. So there is almost like the half is covered. And then for the central part, we do the same training on Thursday. So that's one. So there is one group training a week for each part. And it's a group training. So there is usually like 10 riders. So it's already a lot, but at least they can ride together. They can like battle each other, they can race in a group, and that's what we done at the races. So it's good for the fighting and the race system, but then yeah, it's really hard to do like really individual feedback and stuff like that, because 10 is already a lot. And there is also some like morning training for the people, so for the rider who are at the sports school, they usually have the Tuesday or the Thursday morning off, and we have one training, and there it's really small group, so it's like usually three or five. So during this training, we can work way more in detail. And for the last part, you know, with technology, it's really easy to send me a video. Like they go to the track, they film a gate, so a start or a jump or something, and they send it to me and they say, Joe, what do you think of that? And I can do an analyze with an app, or I can send a voice message, and there you go.
All right. But and then they, I guess, the different athletes, they then on top of the national team, they also have training and coaching with their local clubs and other facilities, or is that purely with you?
No. So, like, there is no generality, but usually until so 14, they do one training with me and then one or two with the club, and we are lucky enough that we have like a good club with good coach there, so they can really profit from the club training. And after that, like 15, 16, and when they start. So 17, so junior and 18, they have like, they can either have a training plan from us, so from me or from David Graff, who is their head coach, or they can have a training plan from another trainer. So that's no problem. And they work a little bit less with the club and a little bit more on their side.
And, you just said that in your group trainings, you're mostly focusing on the race craft. So kind of racing in a group and the gates. And then what kind of other skills are critical for a BMX race athlete?
It's not rocket science. What you have to do is go fast on a BMX bike. So what we most train is that. So go fast on the track. So a huge part is the start. So with the gait and the movement and all the stuff. So we are doing a lot of this, that's for sure. And we are doing a lot of track speed, like really section of the track, like trying different like jump manual and different stuff. But for my group, we are doing most of it on the BMX track. And on the side, they can have some gym training, so or strength and condition, and a bit of sprinting as well. I mean, like basic sprinting. On the BMX bike, like it can be uphill sprint, downhill sprint. But I would say like most of the training for my athlete is on the BMX, and a good part of it is on the BMX track.
Joe, I've had a lot of good times on BMX tracks. Never formally riding BMX, but I've got a dirt jumper, and I've always had like a kind of a kick around bike, a hardtail that I just rat on, and find myself some indoor, some outdoor BMX tracks. I don't really know anything about BMX, and I haven't, as I said, done any formal riding, but I've always found a lot of fun riding some BMX tracks and even pump tracks, right? Like this really big exhilaration riding with your friends, all like handlebar to handlebar, seeing who can go furthest or how high you can go and stuff. What's the difference between the tracks that these athletes are going on? And are they going to like just the one track, or are there multiple tracks that they get to practice different techniques and skill sets on?
There is two different stuff regard tracks. There is what we call normal track, and there is what was before called a supercross track. Now it's not UCI, don't call it supercross anymore. But the huge difference is the normal track have a start meter, who is usually 5-4 meters, the start hill, and the supercross track have a 8 meters hill. And that's the, I don't know if you've already been to the pump track in Granja. There is one 8 meter hill there. So that's the two format. And like when you are a kid, you are racing on the small hill. And when you get junior, you're starting on the 8 meter hill. So it's not a new sport, but it's something else.
Yeah, it's much faster, and I assume the jumps are much bigger. And so it's like the difference between motocross and supercross.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But yeah, and for in Switzerland, we don't have a lot of supercross track. So we have like one in Grenchen, one in Egg. So we try to train as much as we can there, but it's not always easy. So we do a lot of training on the normal track, who is what you probably rode. So the club track. And for my team, so my athlete, we try to ride as much different track as possible. So to do the variety of jump and stuff that we can do as much as we can. So we go to the track in Winterthur, we go to the track in Weinfelden, and we're trying really to ride as much different stuff as possible. So to have like as much technique as possible.
One interesting element, and because, you know, seeing that you're the junior national coach, is, you know, this all sounds like very serious and sprinting and weight training and technique and all of that. But how do you keep that fun for kids that, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, all the way until they're in the elite at some stage? Because, you know, it's kind of a similar analogy to, let's say, ice skating, like speed skating. So, the tracks are slightly different every single time, but they're pretty similar. How do you keep that fun?
Like doing fun stuff with your bike. I mean, for example, when you have to do like an endurance session, so you will have to do like 5 or 6 full laps, like not in a row, like five full laps. And if you ride a BMX track, you know how exhausting it is to do one lap. So you do, if you have to do that, that is on your schedule, then just make a fun warm up, like trying to row the whole straight, to manual a whole straight and stuff like that. So have fun on your bike, like maybe do a new transfer or jump double backward, whatever. And then you go to business, and that's how you keep it fun. And I mean, there is going to be a way sometime where if you want to perform, that you have to be serious. But on the side, your warm-up, you can do whatever you want. You can just play with your bike. And the cool-down, same. I mean, you can do your six or five full laps, one after the other. And then you say, all right, to go down, before I go home, I'm going to do this challenge or this challenge. And then you try to keep it fun. And at the end, I mean, it's still riding BMX. It's still go fast, jump, manual, do some stuff. Even if it's on the training plan, it's still fun. It's not like, oh, you're going to run 40 kilometers today.
True. It's still riding bikes, still having fun, still having a good time. The other thing, of course, more recently now with the Olympics is... you said that the tracks are changing, and they're not every single track is the same. But I've read and heard some coverage about let's say some athletes that have a lot of funding, that they basically built their Olympic tracks that, you know, they know the layout of. They built that in their backyard and are training precisely on that. So how important is that to have all that infrastructure available?
It's a part. So every federation know how important is it to have like something similar. But at the end, for example, for Tokyo, the guy who built the replica and had the exact first straight, I mean, it should have been the exact first straight, doesn't perform that good. So at the end, it's no secret, you know, like, the starting hill, you know which shape is going to be. It's going to be 8 meters. There's going to be like 2 kink, and you know how it should be. So you can build one, and all the federation have one. And in Switzerland, we have one in Egg, we have one in Crenshaw. So you can train on that. But I mean, all the other federation is doing the same. So it's not what is going to give you a huge advantage. It's going to help you. But it's not a secret. Mm. I mean, it's no secret to anybody.
Okay.
So at the end, I think the rider capability is going to play a more important role as if he had the exact same track at home.
Time and time again, we hear about really notable high-performance cyclists coming out of BMX and crossing over to, let's say, downhill and enduro, other mountain sports, or other cycling sports. And they have really like the kind of you know, they say they have these, the typical BMX style, like the explosiveness and the handling skill. Have you seen any athletes recently made a crossover from BMX to mountain bike? And if not, what would you do to prevent them?
I'm not going to prevent them. I mean, if they want to ride mountain bike, they can ride mountain bike. I have no worry with that. And if they what they like, I will be an idiot if I say no. You have to stick to BMX, because if you are not riding what you want, then you're not gonna have fun and you are not gonna perform. I don't have a huge example now, but I mean, not on my team, but I remember, like, I would say 5 years ago, I saw Thibaut Daprella racing an Europa Cup in Verona, like 5 years ago. I think it was like 2017 or maybe 2016, but he was racing an European Cup and he was racing really, really good. And like 5 years after, he's racing Downhill World Cup. So.
And winning.
Destroying.
He's a beast. He's a beast. I mean, there's obviously some fantastic athletes coming out of BMX. You know, I think we're not spilling any beans or any secrets if you say that. You know, what is it? You know, Jared Graves and, you know, was it Thibaut Daprella has a BMX background. And there's, you know, plenty of others. Loic Bruni has a BMX background. Obviously, BMX background currently, if you're frequenting the pink bike sections, comment sections is kind of a thing after the Pink Bike Academy, but yeah, it seems to be helping quite a lot for a lot of athletes, certainly when it comes to explosivity and certainly bike skill. The other thing I'm curious about is you know, kind of, so how long have you been doing this, and what has been kind of the most rewarding in all of that time that you spent with working with kids and young athletes and bringing them to the top of the sport?
I started to help like the training center in 2010. It was back then in the French part of Switzerland. And then in 2018, I started to doing that like as a job. At first it was like only 50%, and from last year it's a full-time job. So I have like almost 12 year as a experience as a high performance coach. I mean, I'm not the kind of coach who say, oh yeah, I take the credit for this win or this win, because I know like kids or athlete, I'm going to say kids are come to me when they are 10, and then they are going to leave me when they are 18, and it's only part of the process. I want that after they're going to be successful in under 23 and then in elite. So it's like really, I'm really part of the career as a process. But yeah, when I moved to Zurich, I started to work with Cedric Guti. He was like 15, and then he had a pretty successful career as junior. So he won like the European and the World Championships as junior. So that was rewarding, but I was not like taking credit of it, because I know it's part of the process. And And then last year he make his first like World Cup podest in elite, and he was at the Olympic, but as a how you say that,
a reserve,
as an alternate, yeah, exactly. So unfortunately he didn't race the Olympic, but he was still there, and yeah, and I think he's going to be one of the next big name in BMX in Switzerland. So That's rewarding, but I'm not taking a huge credit of it, because at the end, he is on the bike. I'm just trying to make, to give my best, to give him the best possibility to do good, but he's on the bike.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, the athlete needs to, you know, one foot in front of the other to make the pedals move. But I think there is a, you know, big role for the coach and providing the framework and the foundation and the development path to success in the elite and then potentially a professional career. So I wouldn't undermine that. I don't think that your role is very, very small in that process, and I don't think you need to undersell yourself, especially when if you can keep athletes engaged from the age of 10 to, all the way through 18, and we all know what happens between those years, you know, in sport and outside of sport. So that is, I think, a huge achievement, and that's why I'm so interested in it. And obviously, I'm facing this challenge with my own kids as well, relatively soon. So that's why I want to also educate myself. You know,
I have some. I'm not going to say deception, but some rider already sent me an email and say, Joe, I didn't see myself as a high performance athlete. I don't want to race anymore, and I'm fine with it. I mean, I try to do my best. I try to take as many athletes as possible to the top, but I know I'm going to lose some on the way. And yeah. It is what it is. And as I said before, I'm not trying to get any credit. And it's rewarding when one of your athletes do good at the race. But I will say it's as rewarding as when you go to a prom track and you just give a small tips to a kid and he managed to get the whole prom track without pedaling. And it's helping the other as good as you can. And of course, medal and stuff like that is good, but at the end, I just want to bring my love to riding BMX or bike to the other. I mean, to give back, that's the word.
It's really obvious you have a large passion and you're giving a lot of dedicated focus. And along with all this effort comes sometimes with some hard lessons. So maybe you can let us know what is one of the hardest lessons you've learned so far as a coach in general, or maybe even as a high performance coach in this role.
BMX racing can be really tough sometimes, because you can be the best prepared. You can be like mentally, physically ready, and somebody can crash in front of you, and then that's it. And yeah, so sometimes you it's not really your fault. I mean, sure, a part is your fault. If you don't want that someone crash in front of you, you just have to be in front. Then there is not this chance. But that's not always happen. And sometimes you have the feeling you have done everything good, and then it just doesn't work. And in BMX racing, like, a race is 45 seconds. So you can train like a whole year or almost a whole career, and then it's over in 45 seconds. And sometimes it's hard to deal with that. Like, you give really like all your time and all your energy for something, and then I don't know, you crash or you do a small mistake and then it's over. It's not like a, I mean, in a cross country race, like, it's 1 hour 30, so you have time to like
recover, fix the bike, usual stuff. Yeah. It's a cruel discipline. I think it's very, very honest, in that, you know, it's just in terms of the speed and the power and, you know, seeing how these dudes are or and dudettes are bombing out of the start gate, it's unreal. You know, just in terms of the performance, you know, that's comparable with some of the best road sprinters in the game, right? And then the finesse and the skill and all of that. And then again, as you say, right, it can be over in 5 seconds. It can be over because not even because you did something wrong. But yeah, I guess the takeaway here is, you know, the what you mentioned earlier, right? So to keep the perspective and having the fun outside of the 45 seconds and keeping it entertaining and trusting the process and focusing on the process and sticking to it, and that is hopefully how these guys can continue their path in the sport. But of course, we've talked a little bit about the Olympics and how that has obviously changed the dynamic a little bit within the sport. But do you have any perspective on how things have changed since BMX has become Olympic? And I guess, you know, an interesting contrast is, of course, BMX race has been Olympic for a couple of years now, or 4 cycles, as you mentioned, and freestyle has only just come online in terms of the Olympics. So do you have any perspective on that?
The track change because of the Olympics, I would say, because now we have like the Supercross track, it was something new. In terms of rider, I think it's same as all the other sport. Like every rider are getting closer and closer and closer. It's not like 20 years ago, there is one guy who dominate. And now there is like 20 guys who can win the Olympics. But I think that's the same for all the sport. And in terms of visibility, I mean, Olympic can only be positive, because if there is no Olympics, there is no BMX on TV. It's not like there is a live of every World Cup or something. So in terms of visibility, it's really good that we have the Olympics, because at least every 4 years, people watch BMX on TV. And for freestyle, I mean, there were a lot of discussion. Is it good? Is it not good? That it's at the Olympics, kind of the same debate as for skating, and I mean skateboarding. As I say, I see it as a opportunity to see BMX on TV, and if you watch the Olympics BMX freestyle, then you see, oh, these guys are doing crazy stunt, and then you can Google it, and then you can find the rest of the BMX freestyle, who is not Olympic, like, I don't know, street, bigger, vertical ramp and stuff like that. And then at least you found BMX, and that's the positive way. And for the athlete, I think there is a huge change, because now with the Olympics, they can be funded. They don't have to deal with sponsorship and stuff like that. I mean, they still have, but if for a reason or another they have no frame sponsor 1 year, they can still do the sport because they are funded by the country. And I think that's some relief. So if you know, hey, I'm on the national team, I'm gonna be funded, I don't have to. It's okay if I lose my shoe sponsor, for example, then you don't have to like focus on this, and you can really focus on training. And that's the same for freestyle. I mean, now there is a guy from Team USA who I founded, and if they don't have like an energy drink helm, they can still live from the sport.
I guess that's a very important very important aspect that a lot of people are missing from the equation, right? When it comes to freestyle sport, right? Because it levels the playing field to some extent. I'm not saying it's completely fair compared to someone that has an energy drink sponsor or whatever else sponsor it is, like a big time big money sponsor, right? But at least it gives everyone the opportunity to 100% focus on the sport. One final one on, you know, bringing people to the sport and the Olympics and all of that is kind of, you mentioned that it's the Olympics is a great platform to bring people to BMX and that people see it on TV and they can appreciate what, you know, what the performance is, etc. But what else are you doing to bring more people to BMX? Is there any, let's say, marketing activities or how do people find BMX today?
I mean, nowadays you can find everything online. It was not like when I start BMX, I was waiting that it's the end of the month so I can go to the shop, to the library and buy the last ride BMX magazine. Now you can, if you have Instagram, you will, I don't know, you will find sometimes BMX because you will see something. They are using it in advertising, in a lot of stuff. But, I mean, in Switzerland, we are lucky that we have, like, a lot of place to ride, like a lot of BMX track, a lot of pump track, really a lot, and some good skate park as well. So we are pretty well organized and well covered. So there is some school who are doing like introduction in the pump track. There is some like you can do on the holiday. The holiday program is going to bring some kids on the pump track or on the BMX track. And that's how you bring kids to try. And when you try, you're gonna like it or you're not gonna like it. That's how you learn. That's your way. But at least you have tried once. And I will say that's how you bring more people to ride BMX or to ride bike. Just give them an opportunity to try. And if they like, oh, here's a flyer. That's the local club. You can go try. If they don't like, no problem. You can do whatever you want. But I think in Switzerland, like with the work with the school and the holiday program and the stuff like that, I would say that kids are pretty lucky and they can try a lot of stuff and then they can find what they like.
Of course, we know that you also work with the bike school here in Zurich and a lot of the holiday programs that are coming through the local organizations here. For example, Zurich Trails, they have a BMX course, they have a pump track course, they have a dirt jump course, they have, you know, there's quite a lot of stuff. And I think, you know, as long as the kids are on bikes or anyone is on bikes and can see with some simple exercises or simple tools and simple visualization how much fun they can have, then that's what brings them and keeps them in the sport.
One of the things is just as I say to like every rider that I met, I said like just be kind with people. Like you go to the park, you see someone do a tricks and then he come to you, say, oh, can you do a backflip or whatever, or and then just be nice and say, oh yeah, I can do that trick. Oh, you wanna ride? You wanna try the bike? Oh, just be nice, and then there is gonna be more and more people on bike.
All right. Well, let's circle back a little bit to the beginning. I mean, I've run into you in a number of capacities. Some random photo shoot for the bike school. I run into you at the skills park teaching some kids to jump their BMXs. Seen you around at the pump track. So I guess the big question is, how did you get into riding yourself?
As far as I can remember, I always loved to ride bikes. And then when I was six, I moved to a place and my house was like 300 meters away from the Mavix track. And it was not enough. The guy in my class was riding like for 5 years and was really, really good. So he just say, hey, Joe, let's go to the track. Then I went once, and then I convinced my parents to join the BMX club, and then that's it. But I don't know, at the beginning it was not like, it was like same as I was, it was like my regular sport. It was not like, oh, I want to do that a lot. It was only, oh yeah, I have to do sport once a week, I go to the BMX track. But as soon as I would say I become a bit better and start to jump manual and have some skills, I was like going every day 5 hours to the track. I was really like waking up on the weekend, go to the BMX track at 10 and come back at 7 and ride the whole day.
Okay. And was that just a BMX race, or was that, or, you know, you never made any distinction. You just rode BMX or you rode bike and that was it.
It was racing. It was like, as I say, I get in the club. I start riding bike. Like I was doing jump in front of my, on my home and stuff like that. Like building jump with like plywood. Like I would say all the kids have done once in their lifetime. And then I went to the track, and then I signed up on the BMX club. So I was a BMX racer. And from like 10 to 14, I was like really BMX race focus. And it's after, when I was like 15, I met some guys one day when I was crossing the skate park. He was riding BMX and he said, oh yeah, you want to try? And then I went with my racer bike at the skate park and it was fun. So that's how I get into freestyle. And after, I was like, I always have like some kind of period. So at the beginning it was more race, then it was more freestyle when I was a teenager. And I would say from like 20, it's only riding BMX. Doesn't really matter. I can have fun on everything.
Do you currently own an alternate bike, road bike, mountain bike, city bike?
I have a lot of bike.
Right on.
I would say I have a race BMX, I have a freestyle BMX, I have an enduro, I have a downhill bike, and I have a city bike and an e-bike as well. Sorry.
So all bases covered. Nice. Exactly. I'm down with that.
It's all bikes. You still have to pedal.
Are you still living close to a track?
Not anymore. I'm living in Biel, so I'm close to some pretty good enduro trail, but not that close to a BMX track. But I have like around me with 20-minute car, I have like 3 pump track. So it's a good mix. I like pump track. It's a really good mix from racing, freestyle, and like really BMX. If you want to race on the pump track, you can race on the pump track. If you want to just have some air time and jump and do transfer, you can do that on the pump track as well. So I really like it. I think it's a really good mix.
Speaking of pump track, Switzerland's starting to become known as pump track capital of the world. Have you seen a lot of influx of riders coming, like starting just as pump track people who go there, and then all of a sudden are like, whoa, there's another genre of pump track called BMX race. Like, are there people coming in through pump track into BMX, or where are the people coming from BMX when they're coming through?
That's a really good question, because that's one of the goals that we will have with the federation, is like bring all the family and all the people who goes on Sunday to the pump track, that they can find that there is a club. Because usually pump track, they are just build and live there. And there is no really like life around the pump track. There is some who have classes and activity, but most of them it's like build and then there you go, use it. And there is some, but it's not a huge part. Like, as I say before, like most of the people who join the BMX club, like either bike and then find that there is a club, or like discover with the school or discover during the holiday, or just like do a mountain bike tour around and, oh, see, there is a track that I do one or two runs with the mountain bike and say, oh, yeah, we can try with a BMX bike. But there is not a lot of like transfer from people who ride pump track to people actually who sign in a BMX club. But I think there is a way. It's just that BMX race, even in a club, it's kind of competitive, and pump track is more relaxed. And when you sign up in a BMX club, then the trainer is gonna tell, yeah, you will have to do some race and stuff, and like the fun aspect in the racing club are not that important. It's starting to change now. The big club, they have a fun group who kid can just go and have fun on their bike, but the more part of it is like it's racing, and that can scare people. I can really see that. So if you want to join the club and then you see and you watch like kids like doing race as a training race and pushing the other in the corner, you can be afraid and say, oh, maybe I'd rather go on Sunday on the pump track and just have fun that way. Yeah, I think there is a way that we can find a good balance, that people who enjoy riding pump track can enjoy being on a BMX club.
Right. There's a UCI sanctioned pump track series now, right?
Yeah, like from 2000. There is a world championship. Yeah, there is a rainbow jersey for pump track.
A pump track world championship.
Yeah, the first time it was 2019, I would say. It was in Bern. Yeah, 2019, then 2020 there is no, and there is one last year. But the pump track world championship as a part of the UCI, I see it as an opportunity for the racer to win something else. Because until now, like last year, the two guys who win, I mean the girl and the girls and the guy who win was BMX racer. And in 2019, the girls who win in Bern was a racer, and the guy who win is an ex-racer. He was riding a dirt bike, but he raced a long time on the BMX. So I see it as an opportunity, because same as when you race mountain bike, you can win the world in Olympic cross country, you can win the world in short track, you can win the world in marathon. So there is pump track. I see it as a complement as BMX racing. You can be the world champion in BMX racing, you can be the world champion in pump track.
So if I had a friend coming in from Canada, and he's like, hey, let's ride some pump track, BMX tracks, let's do some general, you know, let's get out there on our bikes, and I don't care what would your advice be?
Go on pumptrack.com and make a road trip, because there is plenty of. There is really plenty of. But I don't have really a favorite one, but you can go to, I would say go to Aigle, because Aigle is a good one. And if you are lucky enough, you will watch some pro racer riding the big hill, and maybe they will let you do a round. I mean, there is so much pump track, and there is so much that are pretty good. So just like, yeah. Open the map and then point one and say, all right, let's go to this one. And if you want to do if it's from Canada and you want to ride a lot of different bike, I will recommend to go to Graubünden, and just there is like 100 of pump track and probably 100 of trails. So you will find something.
All right. Well, before we start wrapping up, I have one final question I wanted to ask. And With so many bikes and so much riding in your professional life, how do you make sure that you still have a ton of fun on your bike?
That's a deal that I do with myself. I always told me if I don't like to ride bikes anymore, I will find another job. And I can live with the fact that I work 8 hours in something else. I study engineering, so I study something really different as biking, and it was okay. Like study and then it goes for a ride. So I always told myself, if you don't like to ride your bike because you are doing it too much for your work, then find a new job. So that's and until now it's working pretty good. So I always try to find a time where I can have a session for myself. Sometimes it's only like half an hour before the class with the athlete start, or on the way to a race, like a small stop at a pump track or at the skate park. But I always try to find some time to have fun on my bike. And I can have fun on a lot of different bikes, so that's made it a lot easier.
All right. Well, we are getting towards the end of our time tonight. So we would like to close out our show with our infamous close-out questions, if that's okay. How about we start with the first one? I have a feeling we already heard a little bit about that first bike that got you really stoked on riding.
The first one who get me really stoked, it was not the first BMX. It's the one I get when I was 13. It was a black DK complete, and it was the first one when I jump on it, I was first capable of doing stuff like manually jumping, and it was like the first bike I pay with my money. It was really the first bike I was really excited to ride. So when I put it back in the garage, I was like, I can win for the next time we rode together.
You still have it, or do you know where it is?
I know where it is. I give it to a friend, and he still have it. He has it as a decoration.
Okay. So worst case, you could get it back.
I can get it back.
Very good. Well, second one, I'm also very curious about your response to this one. No pressure. Imagine yourself as Harry Schedini and you are a bike magician extraordinaire. You can make riding a bike more awesome for anyone by the stroke of a magic dropper post. What would you do?
I mean, bike coach are not going to like me, but I will give everybody the skills to jump confidently.
Yep, I'll take some of that.
Double dose for me, please. So we all know BMX a little bit notorious for a little bit of a wild ride. Maybe it's part to do with only a back brake on some of them, at least on race bikes. If you want to pull off a great skid, maybe not on the track, and maybe even not even with a rear brake, but how would you do that?
I mean, we only have back brakes, so it's pretty easy. Go as fast as you can and just pull the brake and see what happens. And if it goes left, it goes left. If it goes right, it goes right. If you have to take off the foot, you take off the foot. Just go full speed and pull the lever. With only back brake, it works pretty good.
Yeah, there's no way out.
There's one exit door.
All right. Well, Joe, this was really cool. Super interesting. If our listeners have any questions or want to know more about BMX, BMX race, the Olympic movement, about yourself, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. They can find me on the Swiss Cycling website. So there is my email address over there. So if you have any question regarding BMX, just text me or send me an email.
Sweet. Well, we'll put that up in the show notes when this goes out, so you can find it there. Joe, again, thank you very much for your time. This was really cool. Bryson, thank you for your time. It was also very interesting with you. And we'll talk to you soon, hopefully in person.
Adios.
Thanks for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. As we mentioned at the top of the show, you can find all the links and the relevant info to this episode in the show notes. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, why don't you share it with your riding buddies? It really helps us grow our show and reach more cool people like you.
That's great advice, Pascal. I really enjoyed making the episode as well. And I'm really looking forward to all the cool stuff we're going to be doing in 2022. So stay tuned, guys.